They told you my name. I'm Chantel. I'm from Chicago. And I just want to share what the Lord put on my heart. And I'm going to tell you before I begin to talk to you about this subject this morning, I don't preach this out on the street. You know, when you evangelize, you go around and the Lord will give you a word of exhortation, or he'll give you a word of encouragement. You normally preach in hope, love, and faith, right? And so Pastor Jackson, I got to pray and I said, well, Lord, what you want me to say to these people over here in New Jersey? What is this about? Are you clear this is what you want me to say? So look at me good. Say, don't shoot the messenger. No, say it. I need that thing. Say, don't shoot the messenger. No, y'all all didn't say it. Come into agreement this morning. Don't shoot the messenger. She's only on assignment. Don't shoot this woman. And don't give her no bad attitude. Because she's only on assignment from the Lord. And what he gave me to talk to you about this morning is in the second letter that Paul wrote to the church at Corinth. And I'm going to start in the 9th verse. I'm in 2 Corinthians in the 9th chapter. And I'm starting 2:9-1. 2:9-1. 2 Corinthians 9:1. When you have it, please say amen. For as touching the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you, for I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them of Macedonia, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal hath provoked very many. Write in your notes, provoked very many. Write it down. Come on, because I'm going to teach before I preach. Provoked very many. Yet have I sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this behalf, that, as I said, you may be ready. Lest, happily, if they of Macedonia come with me and find you unprepared, we, that say not ye, should be ashamed in the same confident boasting. Therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they would go before unto you and make up beforehand your bounty, whereof ye had noticed before, that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty and not as of covetousness. Say covetousness. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly, say sparingly, shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully, say bountifully, shall reap also bountifully, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity, in all things may abound to every good work. For God loveth a cheerful giver. Now here's the conjunction. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things, say all things, may abound to every good work, as it is written. He hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, say seed to the sower. Both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruit of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. Say, my giving is going to cause other people to praise God. For the administration, my gifts are going to cause other people. Oh, y'all don't believe it yet. My giving is going to cause other people to praise God. Now, that's a good place to give them a little praise. Clap your hands. For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by making thanksgiving unto God. Whiles by the experiment of this ministration, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ. Professed subjection. Say it. Professed subjection unto the gospel of God, and for all your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men, and by their prayer for you, which long after you for exceeding grace of God in you. Thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. Unspeakable gift. Say it. You can't talk about it too loud. It's an unspeakable gift. Now, I want to give you a little background, because this dialogue really starts in the 8th chapter. Now, if you know anything about the early church, Pastor, they were all in the book of Acts in the upper room. And Peter, who had just betrayed Jesus 3 times, went in there and preached his head off, and 3,000 were saved. Y'all remember? Yes, and they all got power. And so when you get power, you kind of want to hang around the power, don't you? You don't want to be around weak people, do you? I like to be attracted to power. Say, neighbor, do you got the power this morning? I got the power. And they all wanted to stay in this place in Jerusalem where they could be around good preaching 24 hours a day. Can you imagine 3,000 people being saved in one day? And then you all just kind of hang out together and basking in the glory of your salvation and listening to the apostles preach an uncompromised gospel. They had just been with Jesus. Peter betrayed him, but he still had a word to come forth and is still saved. Sidebar, no matter what you've done in your life, God is still able to use you to do exceedingly and abundantly above anything you can ask or think. There is nothing that you can do that will separate you from the love of God. So here these people are, and they're putting a burden on the mother church. They were running out of. They didn't have no money, Pastor. And they were calling out for the other churches in the region. Well, will y'all send some help? Because we got to feed these 3,000 every day. And they need clothes and they need water. And you know, money answereth all things. But we're running low and we need some help. So here's Paul being ingenious. He's thinking that he's the one that's ministering unto the Gentiles. And now Peter's down there ministering unto the Jews. Because you know, they both had different assignments. Yes, they did. And so he said, here's a great opportunity to get everybody together on one accord. We'll just take up offerings everywhere and we'll take care of the mother church. And so now he finds himself in a quagmire, because the people had said one thing 1 year ago, and he was getting wind that they had not honored their commitment. My topic today is just finish. Just finish. You started cleaning the basement 3 months ago. Turn the football game off on Sunday afternoon. Turn the early morning news off on Monday and get down there and finish. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you started the diet. When was it? Back in August? And now here it is October, and you still eating French fries and cheeseburgers. How are you going to finish eating cheeseburgers and French fries? The assignment this morning is to just finish. And oftentimes, beloved of God, we start things off with great zeal. Do you remember when you first got saved and you were down here weeping at the altar, and the mothers had to put the prayer cloth on you because you was laid out and slain in the spirit? And before you knew it, here you are 3 months later, and people have to call you on a Sunday morning and say, well, Sister Johnson, where are you now? We missed you last Sunday. Well, I had to babysit my sister's kids. And before you know it, you're over here doing something else. The word for you today is just finish. Yeah, just finish. If you start it, you must finish. And I'm around a lot of losers. I tried to find a nicer way to say it, and I couldn't find one. And you know why I couldn't find one? Because the patterns of behavior are synonymous from one individual to the next individual. The same person that started the thing didn't finish the thing. And then I saw the next person start the thing and they didn't finish the thing. And then I saw the next person start the thing. They got midway through it and they found out that it wasn't going to be easy and they quit the thing. They started their marriage in love, having great relations with one another. And then they got bored somewhere in the middle and then they quit the thing. But we're supposed to finish. And the difference between those that win and those that lose are those that have the ability to finish. Now you might as well clap your hands. I'm going to cheer my own cell phone because this word is for me too. Because although I have a lot of accomplishments, I got some things that are unfinished. And as the Lord was dealing with me this morning, I'm just going to preach to myself for a little while. Because I got some paperwork that needs to be submitted. And all I got to do is fill it out. Because the Lord promised me that favor was on the paperwork. But I just got to... Some of us got to our senior year in college, got bored with the process. We let the professor talk us out of our inheritance, but the favor of God is already on our lives, and the only thing that we have to do is... You see, in the body of Christ, we don't finish, and we start off zealous and we start off excited about things, and I'm looking at your beautiful sanctuary, but I'm most impressed with the building on the other side. And I won't dare ask you, Pastor, how long did it take you to finish past your deadline? That'll be between y'all and God. But see, oftentimes we'll start a thing and we'll say, oh, I'm gonna pledge $1,000 every year toward the building fund, and then December comes and you got the excuse that my baby needs a brand new iPad or a brand new bicycle, and that what you started for the kingdom of God now becomes secondary when all we have to do is help me, Lord, help your people. We have to finish that which we've started according to that which we have purposed in our hearts. He was talking about giving. Y'all saw me dance like a fool, right? Because I said, Lord, how am I going to preach this word to these people I don't even know? And then when he began to talk about not holding our hands out this morning, but us to be able to give, I knew that I was on the right page. So clap your hands for the Holy Ghost. Now, if you look back in verse 2, it says in the second part of verse 2, and it says, and your zeal hath provoked very many. Now see, Paul had already talked to them about getting this money together, and they were all excited about it. So he was running around on his third mission trip talking about the people here in Achaia doing the thing. And then he was bragging to the people in Macedonia because these people down here were doing their thing. But they said that your zeal provoked very many. Now my question to you this morning, beloved of God, how many of you are provoking other people to give? And a hush fell over the crowd. Now we all got the red button, don't we, Pastor? We got that red button because I got one. And my son knows exactly the location of it. He can take his pointer finger with great accuracy, put his finger on the red button, and provoke me to act outside of my Christian character. Provoke. How many of you got older brothers and sisters? They used to provoke you so that you would flip out and you would end up getting a whooping, and they would stand in the back corner laughing at you because you should have known better. You knew that that behavior was going to get you in trouble. So Paul is encouraging them and saying, is your behavior provoking? Your behavior is provoking these people to give. But I don't know how many of us now, beloved of God, are in that position where we are provoking other people to want to live holy by the way that we live in holy. How are we going to have adultery in our lives and be talking about somebody else cheating on their boyfriend when we tipping out on our husbands and our wives? Are we provoking people to holiness when we come into church and we sit next to one another and we don't have a kind word to say, nor a hand clap, nor a praise? Are we provoking the unbeliever to want to come into the presence of God? Or are we provoking them to stay away? We have the power through the Holy Ghost to make people want to do that which they were not originally going to do according to our behavior. Say, my behavior. Anybody that sit next to me long enough, they gonna feel the power. And if I'm dancing, eventually they gonna get up and dance with me. I provoke them to want to praise the Lord. Think about the wailing women of Zion. These were professional mourners in the 9th chapter of Jeremiah. Jeremiah called them and said, get on the wall, women, and start to cry out that the daughters might join you and we might lament and repent. How many people are you provoking to repentance? Because we don't. Finish. And he says here in the 4th verse, lest happily if they of Macedonia come with me and find you unprepared, we, that we say not ye, shall be ashamed in the same confident boasting. Guess what? If y'all ain't doing what y'all supposed to do, it ain't your pastor's fault. Go on and clap your hands because you know I'm telling the truth. He can lead. Oh, y'all got to clap harder than that. He can lead the horse to the water, but it can't make the horse drink. And it wasn't just ye or thee that would be ashamed. It's all of us that are going to be ashamed. Now, I don't know how many of you have ever been in a relationship before. Relationship people, raise your hand. I loved Teddy Pendergrass before I got saved. Because he talked about that 50-50 love, didn't he? Yes, I give a little bit and you give a little bit, right? I'll stand on this side for a little while. And then it's when it's your turn, you come over and stand on this side for a little while. And how many of us are in a 20-80 relationship with God? Huh? Help me, Holy Ghost. We give him our sloppy seconds, but we want everything that he has to offer according to his riches in glory. Oh, they're not going to clap in here this morning. Relationships are cyclical. How many of you women going to be with a broke bus driver when you making 6 figures and the only thing he can do is whine and complain about what he ain't got? Isn't that what we do to God? Huh? He blesses us with education. He blesses us with opportunity. He blesses us with windows and doors that will open. He blesses us with unmerited favor. His grace and mercy follows us every day of our lives. And all we can do is whine and complain about what we don't have. Help me, Holy Ghost. Help me, Holy Ghost. Help me, Holy Ghost. We whine and complain incessantly about what we don't have. Well, Pastor, we might need to do this and we might need to do that. Why don't we just finish what we've already started? So when we sit in front of the Bema seat of God, we're not embarrassed and end up burning in hell. Y'all know that hell is a real place. I don't know what they teaching over here in New Jersey, but the last I checked, it was a real place and somebody gotta go. Because we don't finish. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart. I'm going to say this soft so y'all don't misunderstand me. I used to be stingy. When they called for the tithers, I'd come in with my $700 Gucci's bag, with my $75 hairdo that I just got from the beauty shop, my St. John knits dress, and my red bottom shoes. And in my tithe envelope, I would have a dollar. Yeah. I would put a dollar in the tithe envelope after I crawled out of my big old fat Jeep at the time. And I'd walk in so proud. And because everybody saw the outside of me, they thought that I was wealthy. Ah, yeah. And that I was helping to build kingdom when the only thing that I was doing was putting on a show because I had no intention in my heart to finish. That dollar won't buy you a cup of coffee at McDonald's, more or less a latte at Starbucks. That dollar is not going to help feed the homeless. That dollar is not going to help clothe the naked. That dollar ain't helping no widows pay her light bill. That dollar is satisfying your need to bite from the tree of knowledge so that you look good in front of your friends but have no intention of building kingdom. But there's good news. The more you fall in love with Jesus, say, the more I fall in love with Jesus, the more I'm going to be willing to give. The more I fall in love with Jesus, and he begins to work on my heart. You got to say this out your mouth. The more he begins to work on my heart, I won't have a problem giving. And I'm going to testify. I used to just tithe off of my income and I made good money. But the Lord put me to the test and he says, okay, now you tithing 10% off of your net. Now will you tithe 10% off the net of your business? Come on with me, saints, clap, because it's going to be good news for you. Come on and clap your hands. I went from tithing. So I made $1,000 a month off of my regular income to tithing $2,000 plus the $1,000 off of my company's income plus that which he was giving me. And he only did it to make sure that I would do it because he said that I could test him, but I wasn't testing him. He was testing the him in me. Oh, y'all missed it. You missed it. I wasn't testing him. He was testing the him in me because the very next year I went from able to drop $3,000 in an offering to having nothing. I lost a $250,000 contract, didn't pay myself a salary for a year, and I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor the seed beg for bread. That was my savings account. That was my savings account for hard times. And all of us are going to go through hard times. The big church in Jerusalem was going through hard times. And Paul said, just bring your tithe. Make it up in your mind what you're going to give. Y'all started this thing off. Now you got to finish it. How many of you started tithing when you first got your job? Because you were so grateful in this recession that the Lord saw favor enough to employ you. Come on and clap your hands. You know I'm telling you the truth. And then you notice that it was harder to take that 10% of that first fruit. The first fruit. The fruit before you wouldn't got your hair done. The fruit before you wouldn't paid your mortgage. The fruit before you gave money to your children. And you found that thing to be difficult. And you started off tithing. And then all of a sudden you, because I don't preach about giving, Pastor. I didn't do this on purpose. This is what the Lord told me to tell the people. You started off tithing. And now all of a sudden you so broke and you can't give him no tithe. Do you understand the reason that you broke is because you're not tithing? Oh, you're not going to clap on this, and that's okay. I don't mind. You're broke because you're not tithing. That 10% does not belong to you. He only asked for a dime off of every dollar. You pay 8% in income tax and in sales tax when you go buy a pack of double mint gum at the bodega. You give them 8% off of everything that you buy. And he only asks that when you get your paycheck, you take off a dime, daughter, and then the rest that you can keep. For God loves a cheerful giver. Now, I'm so excited about this sixth verse because he said, he that soweth sparingly shall also reap sparingly, and he that soweth bountifully shall also reap bountifully. Let me help you here, beloved of God. If you give $100 today, he may not give you the lottery. Come on. Many of us want that return on our investment in the same way that we gave it. He doesn't always operate like that. He might have the death angel pass over your doorpost. Your kid's smoking reefer and could have got locked up in jail, but because of his grace and mercy and his favor, they ain't locked up now because he is taking care of you because you sold bountifully. It might not come back in the lottery or $1 million, but his grace is sufficient for you. He may not bless you with a Mercedes Benz, but he'll make sure your big old 2 feet can get you anywhere you gotta go. He may not give you a brand new house, but he won't keep you on the streets. Hallelujah. Come on and clap your hands in here. Don't you be stingy with God. He gave you life. And all he's asking for a little bit back in return. Do you know that if everybody tithed in this country, every Christian that tithed in this country, there would be no world hunger? Oh, I'm telling the truth. It's okay. You know that there would be no homeless shelters? Do you know there would be no naked babies in third world countries that are drinking polluted water if we would get off of the dime? We must finish. Sit down, y'all, because I'm almost done. We must finish. Yeah, we got to finish this thing. And see, the word goes and says, and God is able. It says, and God is, look at this, in verse 8, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency. He's not going to let you go hungry because you pay your tithe. He's not going to let you go thirsty because you pay your tithe. Your light bill might be cut off because you bought the bag instead of paid your bill, but he is sufficient for everything that you need. He didn't say in some things. One thing I know about God, when he shows out fully, and he does it so he gets the glory. He doesn't want you to think that you got that job in your own strength. It's because of his power that you're working. He doesn't want you to think you making money to keep in your bank account for a rainy day. He's got that bank account there for you, so when the hungry come up, he gonna place it on your heart to give it. He gonna take care of you because he's God and he's sovereign. But you know what? Be warm, beloved of God. Don't give out of purpose. You know, pastor, being a new pastor, I don't do no special offerings. I don't say, the Lord told me, because I'm around a bunch of, you know, Pentecostals, they love that stuff, right? The Lord told me to tell you, if you sow a $12 seed and 99 cents, you're going to reap a harvest 7 a.m. in the morning. He never laid it on my heart like that. I never got it like that, and I'm a praying woman. He's never told me, oh, bring in $32.68 and you're going to see a breakthrough first thing. He never has told me to do any of that. The only thing that he has ever told me to do to tell the people is to bring you all the tithes into the storehouse that there might be meat in my house. And he's had to test me in this and watch me. Won't I open up the windows of heaven and pour you? He didn't say, I'm going to drop a blessing on you. He said, he'll pour. He said, he'll pour you out a blessing that you won't have room enough to receive. Now clap your hands. Oh, I thank him for the word. Now, all the stingy folks in here, I know you feeling uncomfortable. So why don't you stand up one time and give God a jump praise so that weirdness shakes off of you. Stand up and jump. Jump one time. Y'all remember Jephthah over in the 6th chapter of Kings and Judges. Jephthah was getting, they were getting whooped by the Ammonites, right? And Jephthah made a vow to God, didn't he? He said, Lord, if you let me win. How many of y'all ever made those? Lord, if you get me out this time. And ain't got no intentions of doing that which you promised him that you were going to do when you got in trouble anyway. Jephthah said, Lord, whatever I see when I get back to the house, I will give it to you if you save us from destruction of the Ammonites. Guess what happened to, now Jephthah, he was born of a prostitute. He already had bad self-esteem. And so he's got this beautiful daughter, right? And as soon as he gets back home, what does he see in the door? His daughter. And guess what Jephthah did? He finished that which he told the Lord he was going to do. He did it. How many of you have made a promise to the Lord that you're going to do better around your money? Help me, Holy Ghost. Come on. How many of you have made a promise and a vow to the Lord? Then it's time for you to. It's time for you to finish. It's time for you to finish. He that has begun a good work in you is able to finish even until the coming of Christ. And if he started a good thing in you, and he is going to finish it, even if it takes until after you dead and your new transformed body is coming up to meet him in glory, he going to keep his word to you. But my question to you today, beloved of God, are you in a position to let the Holy Ghost work through you so that you can finish? When Jesus prayed in the 17th chapter of John, he said, I came here to do a job and now I'm finished. I did everything that you told me to do. I prayed for your people and I healed the sick and we raised the dead. And everything that I left the throne of glory to do, Father, I'm finished now. And how many of you have incomplete, ever been to college and got an incomplete? For some people, that's worse than an F, because you know you ain't got no intentions of finishing that assignment. And that incomplete now is going to turn into an F, fail. We got to finish. You can't be God-given. It's foolishness for you to think that when you give money into the church, that it's going to the pastor. I don't know why I'm here, but I'm going to go on and finish. Don't be deceived. God ain't mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, he shall also reap that. This man preaches every Sunday, don't he? How many of you go to work and work for free? Let him hold your check 2 days. This same very man might have to come and get you from central booking because you clowning on your job so bad because they holding back your money. Oh, Lord, thank you. Mm-hmm. That money is for the upbuilding of the kingdom. And if he does something shiesty with it, that ain't none of your business, no way. Help me, Holy Ghost. Because his daddy gonna see it. And he gonna get his own personal pow-pow that's gonna be worse than anything that's gonna come out your mouth in the first place. You can't be God-giving. And he doesn't come to you empty-handed, does he? Well, let's think about some of the things that he's given us. Well, he's given us gifts for the edification of the body of Christ, didn't he? Some of y'all are deacons and some of y'all are preachers and some of y'all are teachers. Some of y'all are prophets. Some of you all are evangelists. Didn't he give you the gifts of the Spirit so that you can go out and be a blessing to somebody else? He didn't come into the relationship empty-handed, and so why are you? He gives us everything that we need according to his riches in glory. He didn't come to you empty-handed and say, you got to take care of me while I sit back and watch my stories all day long. No, he gave you provision for everything that you need. You can't be God-giving, can you? Oh, no. Well, if you think about it, he was on the throne of grace with God, wasn't he? And then he came down and took on the form of man. And why did he do that? For God so loved the world that he...
his only begotten son. He didn't come into this relationship with you empty-headed. So why are you?
Lord, I thank you. Lord, I thank you. Lord, I thank you. Lord, I thank you. Lord, I thank you for your word. Because he said it was an unspeakable gift. He didn't ask you for your life. He just asked you for a dime. And it's time for us to finish. He didn't ask you to die on Calvary's cross. You're going to suffer a little bit. But he didn't ask you to die. He just asked you to finish. You started this thing with him. And he is expecting that whoever you came to the dance with, that's who you go home with. It is time for us to finish. And I'm calling back to the cross. After they whooped him. And they stretched him out wide. And they pierced him in his hands. And in his feet. And the blood came streaming down his side. And he said, it's finished. And he didn't do that for nothing. He did that for you. And he did that for me. And all he wants is a dime. It's time for